Thank you.
And with that, we're going to continue to 17, Pheasant Preserve End of Year Summary. I believe Mark Ohm is going to be joining us virtually. And Janelle?
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Commissioners and Secretary Roebling, Mark Ohm here, Regional Wildlife Supervisor based out of Chamberlain. I also have my expert with me today. I'll let her introduce herself.
Morning, my name is Janelle Blaha, and I'm the Private Shooting Preserve Coordinator.
I'm going to go ahead and take the easy one on today, part of today, and do the presentation here, and then have Janelle stand by for questions. Are y'all seeing that all right?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about the Private Shooting Preserve Program. We're going to give some updates, just a real general quick overview of what the rules are, why you would want to have a preserve, what the benefits are, and then what we saw for numbers for this last year and some forecasts for the coming year as well. So real quick to start with, I need to do this. Sorry about that. Some real quick rules and requirements. This is a combination of South Dakota's codified law and administrative rule. Preserves have to be a minimum of 160 acres and a maximum of 2,560 acres. All acres included in the preserve must be contiguous. Excuse me. A preserve application does come with a fee of $100 for every application plus 40 cents per acre per season. So just a real quick example, 160 acre preserve is $100 plus 40 cents an acre, $164 application fee per year. Whereas a maximum size preserve is going to be 2,560 acres. So it's still the $100 base fee plus the 40 cents per acre, or $1,124 per year. We do permit species on preserves of pheasant, quail, partridge, turkey, and mallards are also listed. However, we are not adding any new turkey permits, and we do not have any ducks or any mallards permitted at this time, and probably will not have any moving forward. One operator can have no more than two permits. Preserves must be at least 1 mile from a GPA or other public shooting area, or be shown to not take unfair advantage of wildlife habitat on those areas. A preserve is open to inspection by any law enforcement or representative of Game, Fish, and Parks during normal business hours. And those inspections are generally looking at storage facilities or records. Not doing full searches or anything like that. Some more rules. All pheasants and turkeys released must be marked by a toe clip or enlarged nares by using an anti-pecking device. That's so we can identify which ones were released, which ones were wild. A minimum of 600 male pheasants must be released per preserve per season. That is reduced for 300 to 300 for new preserves. Only male pheasants released between August 1st through March 31st count towards that minimum. Hens can be released, but they do not count towards the required minimum there. The local CEO must be notified prior to the initial release. Harvest on each individual preserve cannot exceed the number of birds previously released on that preserve. So if they release all 600 of their birds right away, they can shoot up to 600 birds, but before they can shoot 601, they have to release more. All permitted game harvested on a preserve must be tagged with a kill tag provided by the department prior to leaving the preserve acreage. These tags are provided at a cost of 25 cents per tag that is actually utilized, or $2 for any tags that we issue but they do not return and they didn't use. So basically tags that got lost or something like that. And then records showing the name, license number, address, and number of wild and released birds harvested are required for every day that is somebody hunts on a preserve. So a lot of rules there. What do they get out of that? First and foremost, they get a very much extended season, September 1st through March 31st, compared to the regular season from mid-October through January 31st. They get about an extra 3.5 months of hunting. They get extended shooting hours. Instead of 10 o'clock to sunset, they can start hunting at sunrise and go all the way to sunset. A liberal daily limit, 20 roosters per day from September 1st through the end of the regular season, and then 15 birds per day from the end of the regular season through March 31st. In addition, if you remember a few years ago, we changed the daily limit for anybody that is properly licensed from September 1st through the end of the regular season. There is no daily limit. They can shoot as many as they want to. There is no possession limit. So if you want to go out and shoot 20 birds per day every day of the season, you can do that. And it is a reduced cost of licenses for their patrons. If they're purchasing specific preserve licenses, those licenses come at a reduced cost compared to a non-resident small game license. Plus, they are not required to purchase the habitat stamp. So, how many people take advantage of this? Last year we had 234. We're coming in, or 235. You can see we are increasing on average just about every year. We have, in 2015, we had about 200. Now we're up to about 235. I believe we are almost identical to that this year now. Those are spread across the state. However, I would say the vast majority of them are in the central part of the state here. Region 2, I believe, has about 150 of the preserves within Region 2. The rest are spread mostly through Regions 3 and 4. I believe Region 1 has 4 or 5. How many pheasants are harvested? We've been talking about harvest totals here recently. Total wild harvest was about 1.3 million this year. On preserves, you can see we're at about 380,000 for the year. Again, this is steadily going up. You can see the dip from likely impacts from COVID in the 2020-2021 season. Other than that little anomaly, it's been a steady increase every year. Like I said, we also track how many wild birds are harvested versus released birds, because there's a concern that preserves with that extended season are having a negative impact on wild populations. So what you can see here is the total that preserves released in the kind of light tannish color, total birds, released birds harvested in the dark color, and then wild birds in that very small piece, and total harvest in kind of that yellow color there. You can see by far and away the majority of birds harvested on preserves are released birds. Very small numbers of wild birds in relation to that. Over the last 3 years, you can also see that, so this is split up by date, looking at those dates prior to the regular season. So September 1st, we cut this date off on October 18th. And then end season is October 19th to January 31st, and postseason February 1st through March 31st. So you can really see here that the vast majority of harvest is occurring during the season, with a pretty decent harvest preseason, which is what we would expect, kind of that nicer weather. People are taking advantage of that, getting hunters out in the field early. What we don't see a lot of is people taking advantage of that late season. It does happen. There's a handful of preserves that hunt all the way through March 31st, but harvest is pretty small during that, and wild harvest is even smaller. I believe, if I remember numbers correctly, about 4 preserves accounted for a vast majority of the wild bird harvest in the postseason time period this year. So license sales, how many preserve licenses are we selling? You can see here, this is in general gone up or remained steady over the last 3 to 4 years. 2024, we had just under 14,000 total preserve licenses. Now these are going to be your one day preserve licenses, 5-day preserve licenses and then the annual preserve licenses. One thing to keep in mind, this does not show how many people are actually hunting on preserves, because you also have resident small game or combination licenses that are eligible to hunt on a preserve. The non-resident small game, the regular non-resident small game license is also eligible to hunt on the preserve for the entire season. So this is not showing everybody hunting. This is just the ones that bought that reduced cost license that limits where they can hunt. Those licenses are only valid on a preserve. So a couple years ago, we took some time and broke down numbers, went through all of the records to try to identify how many people actually hunted on a preserve in a given year. This was from 2019 and 2020. So the total number of hunter entries was 44,811. That means 44,000, there was somebody hunting on a preserve 44,000 times. That does not tell you that was that number, because every day, say I hunt on a preserve, for 3 days in a row, I'm gonna be on their records 3 times. So total individual hunters, is what we came up with, was 20,348. Of those, 16,794 were non-residents and 3,554 were residents. Those numbers are pretty typical, I think. Most of these, or all of these preserves are designed to be businesses. By statute, they need to be a business. They cannot be just somebody going out and, hey, I wanna hunt longer, so I'm gonna put it in a preserve and I'm not gonna offer it to anybody. So you would expect to see that non-resident number quite a bit higher. So what kind of licenses were used? What you see here is the non-resident small game and the shooting preserve 5-day licenses are by far the most popular ones. Resident combination and resident small game come in next. The 1-day preserve license follows up, and then there's a smattering of other licenses in there. Non-resident youth, resident youth small game, resident 1-day licenses, resident junior combinations. That's not even a license type that we offer anymore. So, but by far, the non-resident small game and the shooting preserve 5-day were by far the largest numbers. So with that, I guess any questions out there? I went through that pretty quickly, but am more than willing to take any questions. And like I said, I've got my expert here to answer the ones that I can't. So.
Very good presentation. Questions from the commission? Comments? It looks like we have no questions, no comments from the commission. Was there anything else that Janelle wanted to provide, or was she here for Q&A?
I think Mark covered it pretty well.
Secretary Roebling.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks, Mark, for the great presentation. Just a quick question on timeline for interested preserve operators. When do they have to have their lands enrolled in a preserve? What are the deadlines and the overall timeline of all that?
So the timeline to enter a preserve is in administrative rule. January 1st, we start accepting applications, and that is through March 1st. There is an administrative rule that allows people, in some cases, to substitute acres if need be, and we do have a couple each year that end up substituting acres for different circumstances.
Very good. Follow-up question to that, then. If somebody were to purchase the property, let's say the middle of March, would they still have the opportunity to enroll their properties into a preserve?
We've been working with people in those types of circumstances to help them get that done. Right now, it's something we probably need to clean up and enroll.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. We appreciate the presentation. Good information for us. Thank you.